Today I want to discuss with you a very nice topic, the topic of Kever Rachel. Okay, Kever Rachel. This week's parasha we learn about the Petira of Rachel Imenu. We get a Chumash. I have here a sefer. Everything I'm telling you is coming from a sefer of Yechiel Michel Stern, Eretz Chemda. But may I once told you about the sefer, Eretz Chemda. It's a beautiful sefer by Yechiel Michel Stern. Last count, Yechiel Michel Stern wrote or was instrumental in writing 98 svarim. That was the last I heard. I went to a parlor meeting where he was there, and they had on display his latest two svarim called Eish Eschayil, and they said this is number 98. This is a collection of Maamori Chazal and Chidushim Yisoidos about Eretz Yisrael, divided into categories pretty much based on geography. Tveria, Galil, Haifa, okay, this, all different parts. He goes through everything. It's very, very interesting. Chevroin, so he has here a Perek Lamed Ches, Kever Rocha. He has some very, very nice things. I actually printed out a lot more things from online, different articles, but I didn't really get a chance to study very much. Let me just present here what I was able to put together. Okay, the first thing he mentions here is something very, very, very interesting observation, that it's shocking, it's l'malim derech ha-teva, that today, in this generation, in closing in on 6,000 years, hail of him, 775, that we still know where Kever Rachel is. So you want to say that it's not really? Is that really true? That some question its authenticity?
They say, if you ever go out of your shalim towards Mala Edomim, Neve Yaakov, is a road. They say there are three big bansavas there. That was the original.
That's the real Kever Rachel.
That's the real.
Okay, I was not aware. That's pretty.
No, the small olive and small base.
Okay, that's pretty shocking. Okay, but generally the whole Klal Yisrael is flocking to Beis Lechem. It's not today. It's the West Bank. It's not.
Even if she is buried somewhere else, because everyone's flocking, she moved there.
She moved there. It's good for business. All right.
Like you got a flyer to the
house. It's a cave in Krakow. It says Kan Nifne Kan Nipman Ish Ashapanam Kan.
Say what?
What does it say there?
Kan Nipman Ish Ashapanam Kan. Next
to
the voice Khanan.
Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, we'll talk about it. So we have over here, it's very, now he contrasts this to the Ma'aris HaMachpelah. Ma'aris HaMachpelah, we know where it is. We have the four Zugois, Avram and Sarah, Rivka, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah, Adam and Chava. We have the four Zugois, that he says is not a Chiddush that we have, because for the Yishma'elim, it's also sacred. For the Yishma'elim, Avraham and Sarah are sacred, so they preserved it. Well, I don't know, Sarah, but Avraham, they also today they take over the whole thing. I don't know what's significant for them, but it is
the Jews don't get there. That's
no, it's more than that. It's sacred in its own right for them. They to some degree, I don't know how their religion, all the different ideas.
Yeah, they say that the Akedah happened with Yishmak,
or whatever it is. But they worship, they hold the Maris Machpelah to be sacred. Therefore, they preserved it for their own benefit.
They hold from three Nevi'im, Avraham, Moshe, Muhammad.
Okay, so Avraham is sacred by them. It's sacred by them. They preserve it for their own reason. So it's not as much of a Chiddush that Maris Machpelah is it's established, it's known where it is, it's preserved, and there's somewhere to go. But Kever Rachel for the Arabs, for the Yishma'elim, has no meaning whatsoever. It's nothing to them. And it's not located in the Yishuv, it was located on the Derech Efrasa, on the way to Beis Lachem. It has no significance for them, and the fact that it's still there, despite all of the hatred, knowing that what it means to us, is nothing less than miraculous. It's nothing less than the Yad Hashem. And in fact, he says it's all because it says in the Torah, Ad Hayom. Let me see if I can quickly find the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that when he buried Rachel, Ad Hayom. When the Torah says Ad Hayom, Hashem says it's going to be there Ad Hayom. It's going to be there. When you read this Pasuk, you'll always be able to find it's nothing less than a special, unusual Hashkocha Pratis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected. It should be known even throughout all of these years. Now he goes on to say something very interesting. This, he touches upon something I think is very, very deep. And why is this so? Why is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed her kever to remain in public on the road for all these years and not be destroyed by the Ishmaelim? Why didn't it bother them? We know how much hatred they have for us. Why didn't they destroy it? Why didn't they remove it? So he says something very interesting. First of all, Rabbi Chil Michel Stern, he's quoting over here from the Sefer Sha'alei Sholem Yerushalayim. Rabbi Moshe Nechemia Kahanau, the Rav of Dach Salowitz. I don't know what this is. Sefer Sha'alei Sholem Yerushalayim. Name of a Sefer. He says that the age-old question, why do the non-Jews hate us? Why? Everyone is asking this question. Every time Rachmana Litzlan is an act of terror, why do they hate us? And people have said many, many things. There's no end to the answer. But one of the answers, the answer hits home with many people is very simple. It's jealousy. Jealousy. They're just plain posh jealous. Especially Yishmael is even more jealous than Esav, because at least Esav has a land. Hashem gave Esav Har Seir. Yishmael has nothing. They were not given. They were not their midbar.
Even Europe is.
Saudi Arabia is just desert land. It's not considered to be a Mokom Yishav. Esav was given Italia Shel Yavan. Was given Har Seir. He has Olam Hazeh. Yishmael was given nothing. It's just a wanderer. No vanot. Like we learned, Yesh Misasher Ve'ein Kol. They have nothing. And therefore, the jealousy eats them up to no ends. And that's why, Rachmana Litzlan, they make trouble for us. So here he goes on to say something that is really very, very deep. From all of the people in Tanakh, which one was the one that did not show jealousy, when, even though she was entitled to show to be jealous? Rachel. Rachel is the top. Vatakane Rachel ba'achoysa because of a ma'asim toivim. She was mekana only the ma'asim toivim, but she was not mekana her as a person. She deserves it. If the fact that she was mzoichet to this bracha is because her ma'asim toivim, she has close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but not wasn't a jealousy that was insincere, that was not correct.
Why
what? Why was she was jealous of Maaseha? It says in the pasuk that the only reason why she was zoicha to having six children was because of her ma'asim tovim. Rachel says, I also want to have ma'asim tovim. I also want to. So what did she do? She gave her maidservant Bila. She gave Bila to.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them because of that pasuk. She was punished for that. That's one of the Chazal say. That's why she died so young.
One of the wives was supposed to die.
Because you can't have more than. Let me just present the idea. We could ask all the questions, but let me just. But although you're quoting a pasuk, you're making a very good point. But overall, the big picture of things, the only reason why we're going to zecha to the third baseline is because Rachel mevak al banera. Rachel was masra the simonim. She gave the simonim. She was entitled. She was entitled to be.
Not only that, but kimat kachtei chesishti. Hey, I gave you this
emotive. She made believe that she, a lot of Mamar Chazal, she didn't even let Leah know what a chesed she did for her. She made believe he was always meant to be for you. She hid the fact that she was supposed to marry Yaakov. She gave over the simonim in order that her sister should not be ashamed. She was willing to give up everything. There was no guarantee that Yaakov would later marry her also. At that moment in time, this meant the end. Goodbye, good luck, finished. I'm out of the picture. She would have had to marry, possibly marry Esav. She was out of the picture in order that her sister should not be embarrassed. She did not show any jealousy. So it says in the Sefer Sha'ali, who in this world is the most jealous of us? Yishmael. This is a reality. Yishmael is more jealous of us than Esav. That's what Chazal say. Because Esav at least has something in this world. Yishmael has nothing in this world. They are the most jealous. Who was the person in this world that did not show jealousy when she was entitled to show jealousy? Rachel. Therefore, Mida Keneged Mida. Rachel did not show any, did not show jealousy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not allow the Yishmaelim, who are naturally jealous of us, to have any jealousy in regard to the kever of Rachel, and let it be. You want to come and visit the kever Rachel? You can visit the kever Rachel. I know you'll tell me that today it's not so simple. Today it's, you have to have a bulletproof a compound to get in there. Ein ochnami, but still in all, the fact that it has survived until this point in time in history is nothing less than miraculous. It's only because it didn't bother the Yishmaelim. For it not to bother the Yishmaelim is something which is l'malo miderech hateva, and the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu brought about they are not jealous is because neither Keneged Nida. The Yishmaelim are jealous. Rachel was within her rights to be jealous of Leah. Rachel was Mavral Midaisav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it about that the Yishmaelim, it doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother them.
Because to them, it isn't a holy place as opposed to...
But being that it's for us a holy place, that would be more than enough for them to have destroyed it. You don't need to look very far. What?
You have to understand.
Breathing is enough of a provocation
for us to write
it. But it's not a holy place, so therefore.
But if we flock to this Makom, they would be very willing to obliterate it off the face of the earth.
It's because
most of the Palestinians were never there. They came much later. There were no Rishon.
But we're dealing with 3,000 years. We're dealing 3,000 years. In the Chanami, you're talking about a period of time, a short period of time. 3,000 years. We've always flocked there. Whenever.
It was a small caver. Until Mount the Fury built the oil on it, there was no oil on it. Nobody knew what it was.
They knew what it was. If we knew what it was, they knew what it was. You have to say, if we know everything else doesn't, there's almost nothing else that we have from biblical times. Do we know anything else from the biblical times? That's not so. That's very questionable. That's really questionable. So he's saying from the Ari. So hear what he's saying.
That you have, especially up there. Or from the Ari
HaKodesh. Al Piruach HaKodesh. It's not...
This was on everything, but this was before that. They knew this before that.
We're dealing with something that going back to the time of the Torah.
They knew before the Ari.
But even
what took place during. Okay, but all of those people are from at least from the time of the Bais Rishon. We're going even back to the time of the Torah. We're going back way, way back. It's l'mal l'mdechateva, and he attributes as an idea. I know you're asking good questions, but it's a very powerful idea. This idea that the Yishmaelim are jealous of us, and that is the source of all the problems that we have. Rachel was not jealous of Leah. Rachel delivered the simonim. Menela mida keneged mida. Kadosh Baruch Hu put in the minds of the Yishmael not to be jealous in this instance, and allow us to have the zechus of going to kever Rachel. It's a very interesting idea. Okay, let's now go to. Yeah.
So they have a place where they say this is where the Jews are. They believe in Moshe, that he came out, so they believe also.
Okay, that's also very, not so simple. Okay.
They have a place where they say this is the spot.
Okay, let's go to the next idea. We all know the reason why Yaakov Avinu buried her, another short idea, is because Yaakov apologized. He apologized to Yosef in Parashat Vayechi. In Parashat Vayechi, apologized to Yosef, do not have any kindness on me. Why I did not take your mother into the Maris Machpel to Eretz Yisrael? Why I did not even take her into Beis Lechem? Yaakov buried her on the road because the day will come during the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni that they will pass on the road and they will be mispala. Now that is alluded to in the words of the Pasuk Let me just find it's parashat Vayechi. Va'ani bivoimi padan nesolai rochel. It's not in this week's parashat. Parashat Vayechi va'ani. Chazal tell us every time in the Torah the word va'ani appears, it needs ani ubeis dinoi, Hashem and His best. And even though the pasuk va'ani l'fi pshuta refers to Yaakov, Yaakov says it was I when I was passing through Beis Lechem. I was on the way kivras eretz lavo yefrasa. I buried her there. But being the Yaakov Avinu chose the word va'ani, he's really alluding to the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu and His best instructed him to bury her on the road. It's in the Torah itself, the Ruach HaKodesh of Yaakov Avinu, to bury her there.
That's on that pasuk. That's the reason he said it over there. Why for Hashem? Because I'm asking you to carry my bones there. It's Israel.
And I didn't even do it for your mother. For your mother, it was al pi ruach hakodesh.
And I didn't take you there. It's Israel. Now I'm asking you to take me there. It's Israel. Why did you do that with mom?
Now we learn from this something very amazing in of halacha. Yaakov Avinu, this is a var from Rav Meir Shapir, the founder of the Daf Yomi. He has a sefer called Imrei Das, and he says, we learn from Yaakov Avinu, the fact that Yaakov Avinu in Parash Vayechi, he elaborates, and he basically asks Yosef Mechila, don't have tainus on me. I buried your mother on the road. Why does Yaakov Avinu need to apologize to Yosef? This was for the ultimate good of Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael would be able to one day be mispal by a kevin, and that's chus, rachel v'achal bonecha. We learned this halacha, that if you do someone an avla, you harm someone, even though you're harming him for his benefit, you still have to ask mechila. It's an amazing yisod. A parent punishes a child. That's really what's happening over here. Yaakov is punishing his son Yosef. He's denying Yosef the ability to visit his mother in a dignified makom. A child who wants to come to the kever of his parents, it should be a makom mechubat. So a child comes, where is his mother buried? In the middle of nowhere, on the road. So the child asks, who did this? Who's the one that put my mother in such a place, such an undignified... Okay, today, it's a long time. We build up... Oh, he asked the mechila.
Why did he apologize? He's the only apologizing to Yosef because now he needs a favor.
That's
my point. If it's to alleviate.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I don't know. Maybe Yosef represents. Maybe Yosef represents him. Maybe Yosef represents his. Binyamin at this point in time. But you learn over here, Rav Meir Shapiro says an important yisod in life. You have to always ask a person mechila when you cause them harm, even if the harm you've caused them results in something very good. In fact, that's why he says he wants to even go so far to say this is a very big chiddush, that after Yaakov Avinu died, the brothers approached Yosef, and the brothers said that your father told us before your father instructed before he died that you should be moichlos. It's a lie. Yaakov Avinu never instructed Yosef to be Moichel anyone. So they want to say that when Yaakov, this is a very powerful idea, you have to really develop this and to see how to make this work out, that when Yaakov Avinu asked Mechila from Yosef for not burying his mother in Beis Lechem or in a dignified Makom, he was really telling him the same way I'm asking Mechila from you, I also want you to be mochel the people that did something harmful to you, even though it resulted in something good. The act of asking mechila, Yaakov is clearly asking mechila from Yosef, but he's not just asking mechila, he's asking mechila, telling Yosef the same way I'm asking you to be mochel me, I'm asking you to be mochel your brothers as well. The request for mechila for the burial of Rachel on the road is equivalent to what your brothers have done to you. They sold you as a slave, which ultimately resulted in Geula, ultimately resulted in their benefit. They didn't starve in Eretz Canaan, and ultimately resulted in Yitzias Mitzrayim, but at the time it was a very harmful, a very horrible event. So for that there needs to be mechila. Just like I'm asking you mechila for burying your mother on the road and not taking her into a dignified place. So this is something which has to be developed. What?
Where does that stretch come from?
It's the same concept. Yaakov Avinu is asking mechila. Yaakov Avinu doesn't have to ask mechila from his son.
Right.
Why is he? So obviously there's something going on behind the scenes. He's saying, you know, in life, it's not black and white. Not everything is perfect. I'm your father, but yet I did something that was for the ultimate benefit of Klal Yisrael. But yet, you know, it was painful, and therefore I have to ask Mechila. You should be aware that your brothers also did something.
Where the words, the trigger for those words.
Yeah.
He says, "Ono sono pesha hecho v'chatosom ki ro'agam olucho v'yatos sono l'pesha vei achila v'icha." It says, "Vayef yosef v'dabar me'lov." So it says he cried because they reminded him, you know, words, but he cried. Of course, most of the Farshim say he cried on that.
Doesn't say. Back like this.
Because, you know, he knew they were lying.
It doesn't say. The best answer I saw is there are two types of mechilas. The mechila, personal mechilas, the mechila from klapi, pinim klapi chutz, for the world. For the world, you can never get mechil Hashem that resulted from mechilas Yosef. It's not for Yosef to be mechil. He can't give mechila. On a personal level, you can give mechila. But there are certain parts to the mechila that Yosef does not have the power to be mechil. It's beyond his control. It was mechil Hashem. And that, so there are different. We're running out of time. I don't want to go. Okay, this is going over the topic. We're going to finish a few more things. There's a medrash that describes exactly what the matzeva looked like. According to the medrash, there were 11 stones put on the kever of Rachel. Six levels. There are a total of 12 children. Binyamin obviously did not put down a stone on his mother's kever, because Binyamin was a one day old baby, was an infant. Yosef at that point in time is machlekes how old he was. Simply he was 8 years old, and there are different versions of the medrash. If he put down this, the pashas, he did not put down a stone. One reason, he was too young. 8 years old, he wasn't yet bar mitzvah, so he wasn't fit to put down a stone. Or a better answer is, he was in such a state of grief over the loss of his mother, he wasn't in the frame of mind to put down a stone. But all of the other 10 children put stones on the kever of Rachel. Each one, they put a stone one by one. They put a stone, which means there were five layers, five levels. Each level had two stones, which covered the entire kever, half of the width. Yosef was 8 years old. So Yosef was 8 years old. Yosef did not put down a stone. So Binyamin was one day old, and Yosef was 8 days old. And those two, the two children of Rachel, did not put a stone on her kever. We're left with 10 children. The 10 children put down a stone on the kever of Rachel. Each one stone was half the width of the kever of Rachel. So two children would put their stone, and that would cover the entire grave. Then came the next two children. They put down their stone. So after you go five layers, five levels, you have a total of 10 stones. And then came Yaakov. And Yaakov's stone was double. Yaakov's stone covered the entire kever. So it was a total of six layers of stone, with each one of the children, each one of the shvatim, their stone equaling half of the width of the kever, and Yaakov's stone covered the entire span of the stone. So what do you learn from this? You learn from this as the one that's supposed to put down the stone are the family. The family are the ones who, this is the earliest makar for making a matzeva. It was the children themselves who put down the stone. And Yaakov, the husband, put down the largest stone. Okay, obviously we have a minhag. When you go to a Beis HaKvaros, when you go to visit someone in the kever, you take a stone, you put the stone down, you put a stone. Why do you put a stone? So it's not really clear, because as a statement, I was here. You want to remind. But it's more than just that. It wasn't one stone. Just like the shvatim, each member of the shvatim put down an individual stone. When you go to a kever, you participate in that ma'isa, you reenact the ma'isa, and you also put down your individual stone. The largest stone is the one that suffers the most. The one who suffers the most is Yaakov. Ein isha mesa ella labal. He put down the largest stone in Kamni. According to the Medrash, it's something very strange. What name do you write on a stone? Well, we only go to the cemetery today, and the name that's on the headstone is the name of the nifter. Today we elaborate. You don't just write down the name of the person. You write a whole hespit. You have a nusach of the matzeva. But in ancient times, seemingly they didn't write down a name altogether. They just put down a stone to mark for tumah where the grave is. And then over time, it became the custom to write down the name of the nifter. But according to the medrash, the name, you know what name you write on the stone? The person who put down the stone. Yaakov Avinu, when he put down his stone, on his stone it said Yaakov. So if you would go to Kever Rachel, when the Torah was given, you would not see Kever Rachel, Poi Nitman, Rachel Imenu, with the whole Megillah. You wouldn't see anything. It would say Yaakov.
The one who...
Today. Yeah, wait, what?
This is Rav Gabay.
Yeah.
He's got all the Kvarim in Europe, Ukraine, yeah, and Iraq. And he's on every cave that he puts, it says...
His name. The one who puts up the stone is the one who's supposed to put up your name, not the name of the nifter. The one who puts up the stone puts down the name. Obviously, we don't do this. We don't do this. We don't do this anymore. Okay, let's go to when was she nifter? Yeah.
He was the one who put it up.
The last stone.
Not seven skuras rose, but you should know this is where Rachel is buried. Maybe you want to type the pasuk like that.
He other stones. The other stones.
You're only going to find Yaakov's name on it.
He's the top. He's the top stone.
You're going to see Yaakov. Okay. You should know.
Different.
Yosef's name should be on Yaakov's.
Yosef would be below. Yosef didn't write altogether. Yosef did not put a stone altogether. That's what it says. Only Yaakov. Okay. Now when is her yard site?
I'm saying on Yaakov's.
In the Maris HaMachpelah.
Yeah.
The stone on Yaakov should be...
They already had a sign.
Okay, let's go further. When is the yard site? When was she nifter?
One day before you
saw. We have a machlekes in the Midrashim. One Midrash says Yud Aleph. It passed only a few days ago. Yud Aleph Cheshvan. Yud Aleph Cheshvan. A few weeks ago. A month ago. I'm sorry. A month ago. Yud Aleph Cheshvan. Another Midrash says it's not exact. It's between Pesach. Between Pesach and Shavuos. And we learn this from Yaakov. It says, Vayi be'od kivras eres lo yavrasa. Question was, Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef, why didn't I wait? Maybe you'll think the reason why was the roads were muddy. It was muddy. It was hard for me to take her. No, it was the summertime. It was springtime. No big deal. I could have easily taken her to Beis Lechem. I could have taken her to the Maris Machpelah. It was Al-Piruach HaKodesh. So according to the Medrash, it's clear as day that it was springtime. It was between Pesach and Shavuos. So we have a machloikis in the Midrashim as to when exactly was her yard site. She's not the only one which we have a machloikis as to when her yard site was. There's a very interesting answer to this question. It fits very well into modern medicine, that Rachel Imenu died twice. What does it mean she died twice? They resuscitated her. When she gave birth to Binyamin at childbirth, she was gone. And they had a defibrillator, and they gave her an electric shock, and they brought her back to life. But the fact was that since her vitals were gone, shut down, she was a halacha considered dead. They brought her back to life. She was not in the full state, not 100%. And then it took time, from time Yud Aleph Cheshvan until later in that next year, until Pesach Shavuos, that's when she died. And in fact, it's very meduik in the pasuk. The pasuk says that she died twice. Vayihi vehak shaysa bilidita, vatoimolo hamialedes al tiri, do not be afraid, kigam ze loch bain, vayihi bit say snafsha, explicitly, when her neshama departed, kimesa, because she died. Vatikra shmo benoni.
She died.
Benoni, but the aviv karolo binyamin. That's all the pasuk should say. Pasuk yutes, vatomas rochel. It already said that she died in the previous pasuk. How come it says in the next pasuk, vatomas rochel, vatikava b'derech efrasa? She didn't die right away. She died. They brought her back to life. Part of
that's all okay.
They brought her back to life, and then she survived for another couple of months. She was obviously a chayla shegeish by sakana, and then the second time by Thomas Rachel, and that you can answer the contradiction as exactly as to when she died. The first time she died was Yud Aleph Cheshvan, and the second time she died is between Pesach and Shavuos. They say this type of answer with a lot of kash with regard to other people, other Ishi HaTanach, when we have contradiction as to exactly when she died. It's a very interesting idea. As to when she died. Okay, now as far as the binyan, a couple of the quick things. Okay, obviously the place of Kever Rachel is a makom tefila. It's the reason why it's such a significant makom tefila is because Yaakov Avinu says beferish, like ber baderech b'derech efros he beslochem. The fact that Yaakov explained to Yosef that I buried her there, that it should be a place of makom tefila, gives it, it puts it in a different league. You can go today and you can daven by mekomos hakedoshim, all different places, but there's nothing nothing like going to Kever Rachel. Kever Rachel is a makom that's miyuchad to be a makom tefillah by none other than Yaakov. You have the Beis Hamikdash, okay? You have the Amaris Machpelah, but and you have Kever Rachel. It's in a different league than anything else in Eretz Yisrael. But there's also a very interesting mention when Yosef was sold as a slave. When the brothers sold Yosef, they took him down to Egypt. They passed Kever Rachel, and Yosef broke out in bitter bechiyos at the kever of his mother. The very long medrash elaborates, and his mother spoke to him from her kever. He heard her voice from the kever telling Yosef, "Have a bitachon, have emun in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem will be with you. Hashem will take you down to Mitzrayim. Will come up." It's long, but it's interesting that not only Yosef himself was the first person to daven by her kever. It wasn't just that Yaakov buried her and had to go wait 2,000 years. Yet Yosef, right away, not that much long after, was mispalel at her kever. How old was Rachel when she died? Trivia question: she was a machlekes in the medrash, either 36 years old or 26 years old. 36, depending on how old she was when she got married. She was only married for 14 years. The calculation is that after Yaakov married her, at the end of 6, it was 14 years. How was she 22 years old when she got married? 36. She was 20. That means she was 22 years old.
41.
That's it, 41. So she was 22 years old when she got married. Today you would say it's a shirk crisis to wait so long. To wait until you're 20, a girl to get rid of 22 years old to get married, because Rachel, Rivka got married when she was 3 years old. So it's very bizarre that a girl in the Torah would get married when she was 22
four
years
14.
Old. What?
414.
414.
Or?
Or 14 years old. If you learned that, she was 26 years old. Okay. All right. Okay, next short idea. We're out of time. Okay, we own this. There's a lot of history as the building. Okay, there are different... Okay, there are different minhagim. Now, this is something very interesting. This is the very... When you go to Kever Rachel, as far as I know... Okay, we're out of time. Very quick. Just very, very quick. Finish up very quickly. As far as I know, you go to Kever Rachel, there are no other kvarim in its vicinity. Is that correct?
Only Arabs.
Arabs. But in that area, that's just Rachel.
That's it.
That's very weird, because you go to a cemetery. Any cemetery you go to, full of kvarim. You even Maris Nachpelah. Outside of Maris Nachpelah, there's a Shiloh, maybe the Ramban is buried there. There are many of the four couples. And then besides the four couples, there are others. So when you go to a kever, you go into a cemetery that's very rare, unique. It's probably one of the only places where you go to a single grave. When we go to a cemetery, we go to a cemetery with the Americans. Therefore, the halachas of going to a cemetery are very different. Number one, you make the bracha. There's a bracha you're supposed to make when you go to a cemetery. Asher yotzar eschem badin. Do you make this bracha? The answer is no. When you go to a Beis HaKvaros of an individual, you don't make the bracha. Number one, the bracha is written b'loshon rabim. Asher yotzar eschem. There's only one person. Number two, you can't say bedin, because maybe Rachel died before her time. When you go to a cemetery, if you go, there are 1,000 people in the cemetery, so certainly among the 1,000 people, there are people who died with din. There are people that die not with din, like the case of Rachel Megadla Sear. The Rachel, the mother of Mary, right? The whole story. There are people that die shalai bedin. In other words, we don't know what that means exactly, because the Shabbat sometimes takes a person from this world before his time. He does not deserve to die at this moment in time. He dies berachamim. Hashem decides he should leave this world. Hashem decides to die before his time. There is such a thing. So therefore, when you're dealing with one person, you don't know what the story is. You don't know for sure that a person died, so you can't make that bracha. Okay, another shayla. Are you mechuyev to, when you go to Kever Rachel, to put your tzitzis in your garment? Loyig l'rosh. But that's only by a man. A man wears tzitzis. Nosh m'apater. So when do you have hechatim to go to a cemetery and not have to worry about loyig l'rosh when you're wearing tzitzis? Never. Because every cemetery will always have men. But when do you have hechatim, even if you go to only a single grave, it's a man. But here you have a unique situation. Rachel imenu, a woman. A woman is not chayv in tzitzis. Are you mechuyev to make, and you can wear tzitzis exists outside as the Dilayi Rosh. It's machlekes ha-poiskim. Most poiskim say you should be machmir, you should put your tzitzis inside even when you go to Kever Rachel. Can a tzaddik, can a kohanim go to the Kever Rachel? It's a single grave. It's not like you're going to a cemetery where there are multiple graves. It's only one person. Even with the oral, it's tzadekes. So some want to say is that it's that Rachel presents much less of a problem because there's only one person and she was before Matan Torah. So being that you are before Matan Torah, the rules of Tumah for Kohanim are much less lenient. Halach l'maisa, they're making a space.
To make it crack, like
an opening. Do they do it? Opening? Yeah. Okay. Halacha l'maisa, the poskim say you shouldn't go. Kohanim should not go to Kever Rachel, but there is. Okay, then there are different things. You're supposed to come, you're supposed to put your hand on the Kever, and the minig is, if you can't, to walk around seven times. And then there are minhagim, Kabbalistic minim, which I advise you to stay away from. The red thread, they put around it seven times, they sell it outside. Yeah, these are in Yeni Kabbalah, which we have no understanding.